Hey friends, mark your calendars. The Intentional Motherhood Retreat is coming up October 23rd through 25th in Portland, Oregon. It's a meaningful few days to slow down, connect, and refocus on what matters most in your motherhood journey. Also, some exciting news, Intentional Fatherhood has officially launched on all podcast platforms, including YouTube. So go subscribe, check out the first few episodes, and share it with all the fathers in your life. For more details and registration info for the Motherhood Retreat, you can go to intentionalparents.org, or you can go check out our new website for fathers, intentionalfatherhood.org. You're listening to the Intentional Parents Podcast, brought to you by Intentional. Intentional is all about spiritual formation in the family. We desire to bring biblical hope and practical help. Enjoy this week's conversation. I have the privilege and honor today of introducing you to our very special guest on the show, and that is no stranger to this show, Greta Eskridge. She's been on the show, I think, the most out of any other guest that we've had. We love Greta dearly, her wonderful family, her husband, Aaron. They're just incredible people. If you've ever had the privilege of connecting with Greta, you will not forget, because she's such an incredible human. She's currently writing a book, which I'll let her tell you about in this episode. She has a lot of great content today about how to protect your kids from pornography, but also just to understand the cultural moment that we're in when it comes to tech, when it comes to how to use tech, how to protect your kids, and how to be proactive. She has kids ranging from 20 down to 13, and she's in it right now, real time. We had such a lovely time with Greta, and I know that this conversation is not only going to bring life to you, but it's going to bless you. Also, just this last year, great news for everybody listening, she started her own podcast called the Greta Eskridge Podcast. So what you can do really quick is pause, go over, whether it's on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, subscribe to her podcast, then come back and listen to this episode, because truly after today's episode, you'll want to listen to all that she has to offer. She has a lot of good that she's putting into the world. So thank you for everyone that's tuned in. Thank you for rating and subscribing, even leaving comments. If you haven't had a chance to do that, please do. Also, just know that we're on YouTube now, so you can watch this whole episode if you'd like. If not, enjoy today's conversation with Greta Eskridge.
What does Aaron say? What's my new nickname?
Zippy.
Zippy. Zippy. Which is also funny because I'm not a very zippy person.
Okay. So welcome back to the Intentional Parents Podcast. We're going to start this off strong today. Greta is a household name in general, but especially on this podcast, Greta Eskridge is here again. So light applause, everybody, for this. Yeah. In the background, wherever you're at, please stop and clap. Everyone will love that. If you're on a run or on a walk, just start clapping. Yeah. Right before we hit record, we're talking about Elizabeth's new nickname, Zippy. Maybe you could give us some background, Greta, as to, before we get into all the niceties and the intros, which you're going to do, we're also real people. So,
yeah.
So tonight we're going to have dinner. We can't wait to have dinner with you and your wonderful husband, Aaron. But give us the nickname Zippy.
Okay. Well, Aaron has never met Elizabeth.
I know.
She's only met Brooke. He's only met Brooke.
Yeah. It's okay. I have a girl's
name. No, I called Aaron she.
Yeah, that's true.
I need an afternoon coffee.
It's a he.
Apparently. Yeah. He has never met Elizabeth.
Got it.
So when he can't remember a person's name, he just refers to them as Zippy or Zippo. And so he texted and said, I'm really looking forward to dinner tonight with Brooke and Zippy. And I said, me too.
I said, there's my new nickname. Which is funny because we recorded a podcast yesterday with John Mark and explained my real nickname and where that came from.
Oh, yeah. That's in an episode somewhere.
Apparently.
But Greta, welcome back.
Thank you.
I'm going to start with, you are a wife, you're a mom, you're a great friend, you're an author. Now you are a podcaster, officially own, the Greta Eskridge Podcast. If you haven't listened, do yourself a gigantic favor. Stop listening to ours.
Finish this one out if you want, but stop.
Go over to Greta Eskridge Podcast, the Greta Eskridge Podcast, excuse me. Link will be in the show notes, but also subscribe, because then when you drop new episodes, everybody knows it.
Yes.
And so please do that, and you will not be bummed. Also, we are sitting in our mutual friend's house Megan Faith Marshman. She's like, we're like recording with her and she's like, well, just stay. I have meetings. We're like, we'll use your really not too nice house. Sure, no problem. So we've been grateful. Thank you, Megan, for letting us use your space.
We love you, Megan.
We do. We do. But welcome back to the show. We were calculating. You are the you've been on the show the most out of anyone in this show's history.
Congratulations.
This is your fifth time.
That feels like an honor, honestly.
It's
I love you guys.
It's because you're family. It's like you're in this with us. You're helping us do this. We're just talking about Sweet David, your youngest boy, one of my favorite people in the whole world. Anyway, we could talk all day.
He's amazing.
But thank you for being on the show. So happy that you're here.
I'm happy to be here. And I think, we've done it in person once before. We did it after the motherhood retreat.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Yeah, it's nice to do it in person. It is. I felt kind of like it's really fun, but I also felt like a little more nervous for some reason to
do it
in person.
With the motherhood one or in person?
No, to do it in person. Like do it in face-to-face, it feels, I don't know, it's a different
vibe. We prefer
vibe.
I like it. I feel more nervous over Zoom. Really? I think the like little bit of a delay.
Oh, okay.
Like I just want to say the right thing at the right time. I don't know.
But then once I saw you guys, I wasn't nervous anymore. I think it was just like coming and it felt like really official. Like there are cameras. Like this is and we're holding mics and I can't like hide behind the screen. Like
you can't just
just wear leggings and bare feet, you know? Like
I mean
wear real shoes.
You could. You very well could.
Yeah, we're casual. But we're in your hometown, Long Beach, California. Wonderful, beautiful place. How long have you lived here?
24 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
So this is home.
Yeah. I mean, I still consider the town I grew up in my hometown, but I've lived here longer now. So I've lived in only two places, an hour and a half apart.
Wow.
Not a big mover, but I've lived here longer now. So and I do love it. Like this is where our people are and where we've raised all of our kids
And for anybody that hasn't listened to the other five episodes or four episodes, tell us really quick. You're married to Aaron. You guys have been married how many years tomorrow?
26 years tomorrow.
26.
Praise the Lord.
And then tell us about the kids.
Okay. There's four of them, three boys and one girl. And our oldest just turned 20. And then our next just turned 18, two boys. Then we have our daughter, Lily. She'll be 16 at the end of the month. And then our youngest son turned 13 2 days ago. So
wow,
everybody just had or is having a birthday. So all teens and like an adult child.
20, you said.
Yeah,
right?
he's a man.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's great. Like I really, really love teens and like young adults. It's the best. I mean, the 13-year-old, God bless his heart, he's still in the like. That's the rough time, I think. Like 11 to like 14 to me felt like the roughest time because I mean they're like toddlers in teenage bodies, like their emotions are raging.
I bet you if you told him that, he'd love that.
Yeah. He would probably actually just be like, yeah, I know, it stinks right now. He would agree.
But their brains are essentially doing the same thing that they did as toddlers when they hit that age.
So that age I felt like was the roughest for me, but I still love it, but it's rough. But then you like suddenly then hit this like next stage and then like it's really even more magical.
Well, to be completely honest, because we're a vulnerable podcast, we talk about all honest things. In the interview space, Elizabeth and I often don't interview people together just because of details. Like it's just hard for Elizabeth to get away. It's easier for me to get away than her and even to make space and time. So we don't do a ton of interviews together. She was bringing to my attention earlier some room for improvement.
Okay.
That I would do maybe a better job of, you know, and I get this. So when you're interviewing someone, you feel like you have to carry the conversation. So I'm not used to having a partner to help share the load.
Got it.
So, you know, you have to think through the next thing. And so what I'm doing right now is consciously telling everyone that. So if you hear a long pause, it's because I am trying, not perfectly by any means, to let my wife just kind of leave the conversation where she's also feeling. So this is my spiritual practice in motion. What would you like to ask or say? I'm going to hand it over to you. I'm just going to try to be quiet because there's so many things I could say with Greta, but I'm going to try my best to just quiet myself. So no more words.
Oh, good job. Or at least right now. I said all we needed was like a hand signal or something.
I know, but since we have cameras now, you feel weird about hand signals. I'm like, just use them. Like, yeah, I'm okay with anything.
Okay, when I had a podcast years ago with five friends. There were six of us that did the podcast together.
Every single episode?
Every single episode.
Wow.
We never had guests because there was enough with just the six of us. Mm-hmm. It was actually really, really fun. But we were not on camera. So we had signs that we would hold up, like wrap it up if somebody was talking too long.
Have you? Oh my gosh.
Or other signs like, you know, be louder or try to be more peppy if it was like a late, because we had some girls that didn't like to stay up late and they would start to get like really
tired. Was this in person
really
or over Zoom?
No, we did it all in person. And it was really fun. So maybe you guys need some signs and like
no,
just.
So
this.
We used like, to have
no,
this.
No. No, look,
free
look,
video.
Look. This is an app called Big. Okay. And it's, if you can see this on camera, can you close in prayer? Mm-hmm. We'd use these things and you could fill it out with anything you want. And it's just like, hold it up, like on your head. Like, look, you know.
So we used to do that, but now we have video.
Yeah.
So well, it's like anything you use, you're going to see.
Just do it.
We used to like raise our hand if somebody had something to say.
Yeah. Well, that's why I was just, you know, pointing
it
out. I was just saying it. There's just no doubt. Like, this is a casual space. So. We do have some things to talk about, but 2021 was the last time we had you on for the particular topic. I'm taking over again. See, I'm already doing it.
I was going to say.
Both are doing it.
We looked at each other. We gave each other the look.
I'm like, I thought that this
girls,
was a full handoff.
I'm just going to watch and listen to you talk. If I have anything to add, I'm not even
going to
say it.
Okay, so to make you feel any better, though, I was going to go exactly where you're going.
Oh,
so,
you guys are so cute. Look at that.
17, that's not 26 years, but we're 17, almost, we'll be 18. No, we're 17 and a half right now.
Try to stop bragging about how much younger you guys are than us.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that wasn't a brag. I feel older, but 17 and a half years. Anyway, take it.
Now that was a big buildup. I better take it somewhere good. Yeah. Okay, 2021 was the last time you were on the podcast? Was that the last time?
First time.
First time.
That was the first time.
I was going to say, that wasn't the last time. Motherhood retreat. Okay, that was the first time.
Yeah. That was the first time I met you guys.
Yes, over Zoom.
Yeah.
I will never forget that time. Just, you know, those moments when you just like instantly connect with people, not just because like they're just like easy to be around, but you are incredibly easy to be around. You're fun. You're funny. But we had such a shared heart for what parents are going through, what kids are going through, what we hope to see God do in the world and in families. And that connection has stayed strong.
Yeah,
we ended up recording two episodes with you, I think like one the next day or something, or next week or something.
Did.
And we talked primarily about protecting your kids from pornography and connecting with your kids, like relationally, and how the two go so hand in hand. I would love to know, between 2021, like you were deep in that work then, but you've continued to do that work. You are still affectionately known as the porn lady.
That's true.
Your favorite title.
I'm so sorry.
And I wish I could say that like everybody was talking about this now, a couple years later.
Yeah.
I still feel like very few people are talking about that angle specifically. But what have you learned from 2021 till now that you feel like, man, we've got to start talking about this? Like, what's your heart beating for right now?
You are enjoying content brought to you by Intentional, a crowdfunded nonprofit that desires to help families and marriages all around the world in the area of discipleship and spiritual formation. This offering is completely free, thanks to the generosity of our growing community of Legacy Builders. Legacy Builders is a group of people from all over the world that gives monthly to fuel this dream that we have in our hearts of seeing discipleship to Jesus in the family become a way of life. A monthly gift of $5, $10, or even $30 can continue to fuel this ministry forward. Our dream is to invite people like you to join and partner with us at a financial level and to see this work integrated into families. So as you listen to this podcast, would you prayerfully consider joining us? Would you allow the Spirit to lead you, even if it's just a few dollars a month? Thank you so much, and may the Spirit of Jesus give you wisdom, clarity, and joy as you pray about joining us. If you want to join today, go to intentionalparents.org and click on give.
Oh, gosh. Okay, lots and lots of things. I'm definitely more in, like, I've been doing a lot more research because I'm writing a book about the topic. That's all I can say. But yeah.
Let that be your teaser.
Yeah, that's a March, teaser.
Can we say the date it's released?
March 5th.
March 2025. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, for the 5th in theory, that's when it's supposed to come. But sometimes books, you know, things happen. Last time, my last books were stuck in a boat somewhere for like a month. And so we had to push the date out. So,
was it COVID?
It was 2022, but it was still like COVID related, you know?
Yeah.
So anyways, so yes, I've been deep in research and also I think just in my own life, because now I have older kids. So in 2021, I think my oldest was, you know, like 17, 18 years old. And we did not do cell phones or social media till 18 with him. And then our next didn't get his phone till he was 17. And the 16 and 13 year olds still don't have cell phones. And I mean, smartphones. So like, with all the bells and whistles. And, but now, you know, I have these, like my oldest is on social media now. And so that was a shift, like learning how to do it. Cause when I first started in this world, my kids were all young and I still was under that impression that I could control everything in their world. We can all laugh at me now.
Focus on the word impression.
Yes, the impression. Yes. Because it just felt like, we're going to set these standards up and do it this way and nobody will, they'll never have a problem with it and it's going to work just the way I planned. Mm-hmm. And with the first, it actually was fine. He didn't need a cell phone, like a smartphone, till 18. And he didn't want social media till 18. And then because he still lived at home, was able to like help him navigate that. But the next one, he still doesn't want social media. So that's handy. But he needed a phone, a smartphone at a younger age because of work and other things that he was doing where he needed to be accessible. So I've also learned kind of to not relax my standards, but to be flexible, which was a shift. And I think it's an important shift that parents need to know.
Yeah.
So how to maintain standards that you believe are for the health and safety of your kids, but also be willing to be flexible when needed.
We want to let you know about a new offering, a 31-day prayer devotional entitled Sowing a Hidden Seed, Daily Prayers for Your Child's Spiritual Growth. This book was born out of desperation. I didn't know how to lead my kids spiritually, so I started praying. Honest, dependent, daily prayers. Jeremiah 29:12 says, "Then you will call on me," God says, "and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." If you want to learn more, head to intentionalparents.org. And if you partner with us at $25 a month or more, we'd love to send you a copy as a thank you.
I think that's really important. I think that's harder for some personalities, mainly mine, of, you know, it's going to be this exact set of rules. And I think that's where it seems like, and you can tell me if this hypothesis is true, but it seems like we're kind of testing it out on our oldest right now, where that's where the connection and relationship really has to come in, where you really have to listen to your kids, like your 17-year-old who got it younger. I'm sure you had to have lots of conversations and really listen to why he needed it for work, why certain apps and certain ways that that he could explain what he does. That's fascinating.
Well, he's part of a program in Long Beach called Long Beach Search and Rescue, where they he is like basically being trained for an urban search and rescue program, working with law enforcement and fire. And if there's like a SWAT emergency and those police officers need to be fed, he gets the call any time of day or night and has to go with all the search and rescue rigs, and they go pick up hamburgers from Carl's Jr. and bring food to the police officers. Or if there's a storm and there's flooding down at the beach, they get a call and they have to go fill sandbags and go put sandbags out.
Wow.
And so he needs, he's a crew chief, that he needs to be accessible so he can get the call and go. And so, yeah, he needed to have, to be accessible for that. And yeah, the safe phones that we had, which are an awesome resource, they weren't perfect for that.
Yeah. Mm. What phones did you have? I'm thinking of the parents listening who are like, what are the safe phones you're talking about? What did
you're
you
so
have?
So good. I love that. Way to call that out. We used Gab phones. Mm-hmm. There are a growing number of what they call safe phones. They don't have access to social media or apps. Some do, but you can limit them if you mm-hmm. get one that has those. Bark has one. There's another one called Pinwheel.
Yeah, we're looking into that for Duke Pinwheel. Right now.
Mm-hmm. And they're really just made for like texting and calling. Mm-hmm. And it's not a flip phone, even though like actually flip phones are kind of coming back.
Yeah.
I know.
In popularity.
Yes, they are.
Because they're kids that are in their like 20s are like, we're sick of having being tethered to a phone all the time. Mm. And so there is a small resurgence in flip phones, but yeah, smart or safe phones for younger kids. So you're like, I want my 13-year-old to be able to call me when he needs a ride home from soccer practice, but I don't want to just give him a fully loaded iPhone and access to all the horrors that are there. What can I do? Will you get them a safe phone? And mm-hmm. they can call you or text you. Mm. And it's a wonderful resource.
Yeah.
Truly amazing. Wonderful.
So that's the topic of phones. That's really helpful. I agree, the flip phone stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm so tempted. I there's just so many moments when, especially with things like travel, it does.
Yeah.
It creates some, it's not that you can't do it. It's just like you have to have a plan for what you're not going to, mm-hmm. if you're not going to have a smartphone.
Yeah.
You really have to strategize.
Yes.
What to do, especially yes. around things like travel. Like I'm thinking right now, when we travel, like my phone is the update for, it's my ticket.
Yeah, it's
my
everything.
It's like, mm-hmm. it's annoying that they've done that. Yeah. And at the same time, highly convenient. You know, I'm always mad about it.
Okay. Can I give you a really interesting example of experiencing this exact thing? So our second son, who is just turned 18, he does have a smartphone now. We just talked about him, but he just did it's called a Luke 10 trip, where they basically take the principle of where Jesus sends out a bunch of disciples and says, don't take anything with you and go out and talk to people in different places. So he and three of his buddies decide they're going to do this trip and they're going to take absolutely nothing with them. No, like.
What? That's amazing.
It was amazing. He's an amazing kid.
Yeah.
But he wasn't going to, they weren't even going to take their phones. Like they weren't even going to take a water bottle, like zilch. So they, and no money. Like you depend on the Lord to meet your every need for this, however long you're gone. And they were going to be gone Saturday and Sunday. And they were going to downtown San Diego. And this is a big stretch for Aaron and I, because we're like, okay, well, we want to support you in this, but also, where are you sleeping?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we're just going to provide, we're going to trust that God's going to provide a place for us to sleep. And if he doesn't, we're going to sleep in a park. And we're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So we did in the end ask, could you have a phone with you? Because he did not. Categorically did not want to take his phone. We're like, can you have your phone with you? You can have it off, but just send us like an update, like at like 9 p.m. Where are you sleeping? So we know. But the whole point of the story is God provided, they had a place to sleep. But the phone thing, somebody gave them money. They met this woman. They asked if they could pray for her. And turns out she was a former missionary. And she's like, I love what you're doing. I'd love to give you money for food tonight. And they're like, awesome. She's like, I have no cash. Can I Venmo you? or Apple Pay? And one of the kids was like, oh, well, I guess the Lord did want us to have our phones, but we're not using it for anything else.
Sure.
But that's the thing. Cool. Like the phones is like, you know,
that story in general.
We rely on these phones.
I have so many questions, like that he's wanting to do that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
It just shows what a beautiful desire. He's 18?
Just turned 18.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, we want to remind you about the Intentional Motherhood Retreat, October 3rd through 5th. Starts on a Thursday night, ends on a Saturday morning here in Bend, Oregon, where we live. Space is filling up quickly, but we do still have some spots left. We'd love for you to come join us. Mom, what else do they need to know?
Well, this retreat really lends itself towards bringing your friends and your family, your sister, your mom, whoever with you. It is an awful lot of fun. And remember that what we're teaching is not about how to be the perfect mom, but how to really respond to God so that he can do the spiritual formation in our lives that all of us are longing for.
Yeah, so to find out more or to register, click the link in our bio, and we can't wait to see you in October. I think it even, like, we were watching Sandlot the other night as a family, and there's a scene where the kids are running all through the neighborhood, and there's, like, some sort of 4th of July barbecue going on, and it's like a block party.
Yeah.
And the kids are running all through. Some of them are grabbing food, and they're running to the baseball mound. And Duke, as this scene is ending, he just goes, oh, I wish life was like that.
Yeah.
And I think there is this.
Yes.
This,
it made me sad.
It's like sad and it's beautiful, this thing happening in the younger generation of they're recognizing that they've missed something.
Yeah.
That they're missing something.
Yeah.
And they're craving something different. And what they're craving is actually what we all had.
Yes.
As kids.
Yeah.
And so it's this unique, your son can't do his job without an iPhone.
Yeah.
We rely on them to know that our kids are safe for some sort of phone.
Yeah.
That's true. Phones in and of themselves are not bad.
Right.
But yet how can we help create at least the beautiful things that need to happen in childhood that don't happen in the digital world?
So I think that if parents are willing to do something that is hard because it's culturally not the norm, to give their kids as much of a childhood that is not tethered to a phone, not tethered to social media, not tethered to screens. And it doesn't mean they can't ever be on them, but to have them have as much of a childhood that's not tethered to those things so that in those first 18 years of life, which are so formative for the rest of our life, that isn't their go-to.
Yeah.
Like we've given them a real gift, and it is hard because it's not culturally the norm. But I think it's beautiful and it's powerful, but it's also like critical for their emotional, mental, spiritual, and even physical health.
Yes. Mm. Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because I think you've not only done, I know you and Aaron have specifically been very strategic about that. But you know, when we were talking about different topics, one of the things that you had said was there's a reason that you as a parent, and we wrote this down, need to be your kid's Google when it comes to questions about sex, porn, and pop culture. So tell us about that. What do you mean by that?
Okay, so this really became clear to me when I was researching just a couple weeks ago. I was researching terms like sexting or sextortion or nudes. So for example, your kid is like, I don't really know about sexting, but I've heard about it. They're like a sixth grader or, you know, a ninth grader.
Scarlett
or whatever.
Literally just asked me what it was.
And they decide to ask Google instead of you. And I wanted to see like what's going to come up if a kid Googles that, right? And I shouldn't have been shocked, but I was surprised to see that like the first like five answers that come up on Google say not really that it's dangerous, but that as long as there's consent, sexting can be fun and safe. It's a safe way to have sex.
No way. This is
not kidding you.
Wow.
And that is, again, as long as there's consent, it's fine. And you if you went in and read not just the little blurb that's at the front of this, your search results, then some of them said, you know, you do need to be careful. But some did it really didn't say that. And then I went on to the FBI's website to look at results for sextortion, and they said never, ever, under any circumstances, send a picture that is inappropriate or sexual in any way. Never send them. So here's some results telling your child sexting is fun. As long as you both agree to it, it can be fun and safe and a great way to, you know, like enhance your relationship. But the FBI is saying due to massive amounts of sextortion, it is never, ever safe under any circumstance.
Yeah. Maybe define sextortion for anybody that might not be familiar.
Sextortion is when a person, and often it's a kid. Right now, it's a huge problem amongst teen boys, especially, who are interacting with someone online who they think is often a, you know, a fellow teen. And that teen asks them for a picture of themselves or a video of themselves nude, a sexual picture or a movie. And they send it. And then that person reveals that they're not who they said they were and they want money. And if they don't get money from that kid, then they'll show that picture or that video to all their friends. They'll put it on social media. They'll show their parents. And then these kids are just terrified. It's like I said, it's largely boys who are dealing with this, but it happens to girls too. And they're terrified and they don't know what to do. And so it's a huge problem right now. And that's the problem with here kids going to Google instead of going to you, because Google's not going to give them the truth.
So what does it look like then for our kids to come to us? I mean, obviously in some senses, that's an obvious answer of like, well, we have to be that for them.
Yeah.
But that doesn't just happen
because,
for example, you know, as a parent, maybe you can't even say the word sex in front of your kids.
Exactly.
Or you don't have a healthy sexual culture in your home to talk about these things. So even the idea when we're saying, yeah, you need to be your kids' Google, your kids asking you about sextortion or about sexting could shut you down pretty quick.
Totally.
So maybe walk us through what are some of the tools that we need, really, as either a family or what kind of culture do we need to have to allow that to be a place where our kids can Google us instead of the actual
Googling
internet.
Googling Google,
yeah.
Well, I mean, okay, I will give you an ideal scenario and then I'll give you like if that doesn't get to be your scenario.
Yes, that'd be great.
So an ideal scenario would be from the time your kids are young, you've got little kids. And I always am so happy for parents who get to start at the very beginning in this way, that you've created a culture where you've taught your kids that every part of their body is designed and created by God. Every part of them is beautiful and made for a purpose. Mm-hmm. They don't have to be embarrassed. You've used real language for every body part. So you've created this culture in your home where talking about their body and the human body isn't embarrassing or shameful or scary. And so then you've introduced the next topic, you know, which would be like, hey, there's pornography, this thing called pornography, and it's bad for your body, brain, and heart. I'm going to tell you how to keep safe from it. And you transition to that topic, and it's not scary or difficult or challenging because they're used to you talking about how to stay safe. And so, and you just build on that over the years. That's like the ideal situation. But let's say your kid's 13 and you've never really talked about any of that stuff and you're still kind of just barely saying the minimum or nothing because you're like, they learned it at school. That's fine. I can't have this conversation. In that case, I say with the most gentle and yet encouraging way I could say it, you have to be brave. So for example, you might have to bring it up rather than your kid. So you said Scarlett asked you what is sexting, right? Mm-hmm. Your kid might not bring it up to you if you haven't built that foundation. Mm-hmm. And you might be the one who has to say, you know what? I just read this article about this thing called sexting. Have you ever heard of that? And you have to bring it up to them. That's good. And they might be like, deer in the headlights. Why is my mom saying that to me?
Yeah. And then you open the door.
You open the door. Yeah. And then you keep going and you say, based on their response, like, I can tell that that makes you really uncomfortable, but it's really potentially dangerous. And so I need to tell you what to do if this happens to you. If somebody asks you for a nude picture or somebody sends you a sext, I need you to know what to do. And I need to make sure you have a plan for how to respond.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I hear you saying is it's more than just we need to respond well when they come to us and ask us questions. Like, because you're right. Some kids, Scarlett is an open book. Mm-hmm. And I have other kids who are not.
Would never.
So what you're saying is, especially with those kids, is we need to be the ones to open the door and help them respond to us.
Yeah. We have to be proactive.
Yeah. I hear a lot from parents. I think maybe especially with those kids who maybe they're a little bit of late bloomers or maybe they're not as vocal.
Yeah.
Is I hear a lot of parents saying, well, I'm afraid to bring it up because I don't want to make them then curious.
Yes.
Where then they go and start to Google things. Or what would you say to that?
We have a new offering for you. If you would like to receive daily or weekly text messages and encouragement around parenting, marriage, with prayers and scriptures, click the link in the show notes and we would love to send those to you. Can't wait to connect more with you.
I would say, first of all, I totally understand that fear. Yeah. And that's a really normal response for any parent to feel that way. But I would say, I would challenge them to think of it this way. Like, you don't tell your kid not to cross the street without you because they might try it and you don't want to introduce the idea to them. You know the danger of them crossing the street alone and without you is so great that you have to say, don't cross the street without mommy, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And don't touch the hot stove, right? Absolutely. And we don't go into great detail about what could happen if they cross the street. We don't tell them like the implications of...
Do you know what a flathead looks like?
We don't talk about third-degree burns if they touch the stove, right?
Yeah.
We just say, that will hurt you and it's my job to keep you safe.
That's a great point.
And so... in the world of talking about pornography or dangerous things like sexting or sextortion or any of those, that part of the world that exists for our kids now is we have to acknowledge it's real, it's dangerous, and it's our job to keep them safe. We don't have to go into great detail about those things, but we have to give them enough information to keep them safe because the outcome of us not saying anything could be incredibly damaging.
Wonder about, because I know you've mentioned this in our conversations, but pornography and mental health, how come nobody's talking about this? There's not many people. So tell us, I know you were making some connections even before we started recording, even as we were talking about some of this content and you brought that up. So pornography and mental health, why don't we talk about that a little bit? Because I think some people go, well, that's bad. But I think it's also good for us as parents to understand what is, or as adults in this current moment, what is the bad?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I mean, I feel like right now we're becoming very aware of kids and technology and social media and mental health. Like, there's a lot out there right now.
Yeah, you can't deny it anymore.
Yes, we can't pretend it's not happening.
Yeah.
We know.
Yeah.
And there's like, I'm seeing books about it, podcasts about it. Surgeon General talking about don't, you know, put your kids on social media yet. Like, wait till they're 13, which I think that's, I disagree. I'm just going to say.
But, okay, interesting side fact about that.
Yes.
You know, the 13 that they landed on was not actually because that's what's best for the kids. It was because
that does not surprise
two me. Sides were so divided on whether or not it should be, I think it was like 12 or I think like 18. Mm. I might be messing up right. the facts, but they landed on 13 as a compromise to each other so that they could actually move forward with some sort of recommendation. Wow. Not actually because 13 is what is actually safe for kids.
Or yeah, good. Of course. Developed. Yeah. Think about right. Sweet David
that
right
That was fascinating
now.
To me.
Could you imagine yeah. yourself?
No, I can't.
Even my son, I can't imagine. Mm-hmm. Keep going though.
Yeah. So anyways, I'm seeing all of this out there, but I'm not seeing anybody talking about the way pornography impacts mental health. And it has a tremendous negative impact yes. on mental health. And I spoke a couple weeks ago to, at a conference for young adults. It was a secular conference, non-sectarian. And the woman who invited me to speak, she's like, it's a mental health conference. Can you talk about pornography and mental health? And I was like, yes, hallelujah.
Yeah.
And it was a room full of young men only. No girls came to my talk. It was like a breakout session.
Okay. So it was voluntary.
Yeah. Voluntary. Yeah. And I, at first I was like, okay, this is so wildly uncomfortable. I can't believe I'm doing this. But then I looked at all of them and they were like the age of my sons. Mm. And I'm like, these are my sons. How would I speak to my son? How can I speak to these guys? And so I talked about how pornography impacts their mental health. And all of them were not shocked at all. They were like, yeah, it makes me depressed or discouraged, or I feel alone, or I feel like bummed out about myself. There's this thing called dysphoria, which is where you stop enjoying like the regular parts of life, like being with your friends, a good meal, sleep, like going outside. And when you are addicted to pornography, it can create this level of dysphoria where regular life, you don't have enjoyment of that anymore because your ability to enjoy regular life is lessened by your addiction to pornography. And there were guys when I was talking about that, they're like, yeah, that makes sense.
Wow. Because I think a lot of people will immediately go, well, it's social media, which obviously is a huge thing.
Of course.
But if the stats are in with the amount of kids that are also looking at pornography on a regular basis, daily even.
Right.
It's devastating. And we often go social media. And I mean, obviously there's pornographic type images, maybe not explicit, but definitely pornographic content on social media.
Right.
So I guess.
And it's a stepping stone, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, with all of that, like as you were having that talk, like when you got done, did you talk to any of the guys or did they have some questions or anything?
There were a couple that were brave enough to talk to me afterwards. One asked for resources for help. Another wanted to know more of the information, like research, because he was intrigued by it. But when I've spoken on this topic to teens or young adults in general, I always mention mental health because I think kids are hearing that message in other places. And I think they need to know that pornography has a negative impact on their mental health because what I've heard from this age group is that nobody is telling them pornography is bad for them. It's become so culturally acceptable and so normal to use pornography that kids have literally said, I didn't know that pornography is bad for me. Wow. I didn't know that I don't have to use pornography. Everybody does. I just thought that's what we do. And so there's no message out there that's saying there's something better for you. Not just that pornography is dangerous for you and it has a negative impact on your, you know, I always say your body, your brain, and your heart.
Yeah, I love that.
But that there is something actually better. There is an alternative. And that message is just, it needs to get out there. Like, kids need to hear it so they can know they have a choice. There are alternatives.
Yeah, I think you're so right. Like, I mean, for anybody, but I think especially to a kid, to a teenager, to just be like, no, that's bad for you.
Right.
Like that doesn't really help. That gives no, does not help give them any desire to
right.
to change or to not do something. That's just behavior. Right. We all know behavior modification right. doesn't actually work, but you have to give them the why and the right. how. So
yeah,
I'm thinking that, like, to the parent listening, how do they do that? How do they move the conversation beyond this is dangerous, this is right. bad for you? I mean, the same thing is true of social media. It can't just be like, it's bad for you.
Right.
Hmm. Like, how do they move? Maybe that's, imagine the parent listening is stuck in right. that part of the conversation.
Right.
Like, we've talked about it a little bit. They know it's bad for them.
Yes.
But that's all I've done. What do I do?
Yeah.
If you're enjoying this content and you want to go deeper, we have an amazing resource that we want to tell you about. It's the Intentional Film Series, Raising Passionate Jesus Followers. Now, this is an incredible tool for you for spiritual formation in the family. And we created this film series to help parents in their God-given task to raise and disciple their own children. Now, our hope is that we're able to help you and give you some of the tools that I know we so desperately need as we're in the process of raising our kids, and Phil and Diane have actually raised their kids. This is a 9-session film series on the process of what raising a passionate Jesus follower actually looks like. There's some workable solutions in here, there's a bunch of wisdom from the scriptures, and there's a bunch of practical help in your journey as you are raising your children. We cover all sorts of things like parental roles, goals versus values, what is discipline versus punishment, how do I create a heart of obedience in my child where they actually want to obey, what does a heart of self-control look like, or how do I even help my child in the process of character development. We cover that and so many more things. You can use this film series in a variety of ways. You can use it at your home, preferably with your spouse if that's applicable, with a group of friends or in your community, or even through your local church. All you need to do is head over to our website, intentionalparents.org, click on film series, and then follow the prompts. We have a bunch of other resources there that you can check out, but we do pray that this blesses you in your pursuit of raising passionate Jesus followers.
Well, I think when they're young, so I would say, you know, before puberty, like you don't really have to go into any kind of detail other than it's not good for you. Like mm-hmm. they don't need like real reasons. They need to trust mom and dad.
Just like you don't tell a 2-year-old why they don't need to touch the stove other than hot.
Yes,
hot,
exactly. Don't touch. It will hurt you.
Yeah.
But as they get older, then you can go into more reasons why. So for example, pornography will change the way you see other people. Mm-hmm. And it changes that changes the way you treat other people, because mm-hmm. pornography allows us to objectify people. Mm-hmm. And then you have to explain what objectification is. And objectification is where you look at a person instead of as a person, but mm-hmm. as a thing, an object.
Yeah.
And when you see a person as an object, then you're not seeing them as a human being made in God's image, designed as a person who is worthy of respect and honor. Instead, mm-hmm. you're just like, oh, I can use you for whatever I want and toss you aside. Mm-hmm. That's objectification. And mm-hmm. when you use pornography, that's part of what happens in your brain, is mm-hmm. it allows you to see people in that way.
Yeah.
And for a kid, a teenager, to be able to understand that, that's a really important thing for them to know. And it can be that simple of an explanation that you give to your teen. Mm-hmm. Or I would say, you know, your like 13-year-old even can mm-hmm. begin to understand that concept. Mm-hmm. And that's just one of the examples where you're not going into great detail, but you're helping them to see that it changes the way we view people. That's important.
Hmm. I'm thinking of, you're talking about, what I like about what you're saying is not only do we have, there's the moral side of this too,
of
right?
Course.
Like that obviously this is something that not only dishonors you and your own body, it's sin against your own self. So that's a really interesting theological conundrum. not even a conundrum, but a theological reality. Then you also have the fact that it's sin against God, but it's sin not because it's, I think it's important to say it's sin because it's of how dangerous it is and how much it distorts.
Yes.
It's exactly. sin because it's so hurtful to you. So,
and to the other person.
And to the other person. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm just thinking about, so you have the moral side, but then what I also love that you're saying is like, this is just on a very biological level, bad for you.
Yeah.
Just like we say, hey, drinking excessive amounts of alcohol, that's bad. Eating excessive amounts of ice cream, that's also bad. But this is bad. And it's actually far worse and sneaky. What do we do as obviously families, but like I'm just thinking the church. I'm thinking there's so many people that are in churches that might be listening to this. This is not a topic that churches are tackling.
Yeah.
So what do we do with pornography in the church? Mm. What's your maybe take or opinion, or how do we, you know, talk about that? Because this is a real thing. And I think churches like need to say, hey, there's a biological thing.
Yeah.
And it's moral, and it's just really messy. So I'd love to just maybe even end our time with some of your thoughts around that.
Yeah. I think churches need to be willing to step into the uncomfortable places to have, like to say, we're going to have resources available to you. There are like classes that are taught by people who want to help individuals, families, who are dealing with pornography in their life. Or invite a speaker in to come talk about it, or have like get a book and have a small group have the conversation. Mm. Like, but you have to be willing to like talk about that as a church, mention it from the pulpit, like have it in the bulletin. Mm-hmm. You need to like say the word. You need to acknowledge that it's happening. You need to know that a large part of your church body is dealing with it, whether in a marriage, as individuals, or their kids.
Yep.
And not pretend that it's not happening. Like you, and you might even have like three people show up at that small group. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to speak at churches and the people running the event are so discouraged because they're like 25 people showed up. And they're like, I just know so many more people need to hear this. Yeah. Why are they not showing up? And I'm like, that's really normal. This yes, is sure. my world. So being even willing to push through the discouragement of not a lot of people at first, especially showing up, but then keep going.
Yeah.
So being willing to talk about it in the first place, say the word. And then secondly, being willing to push through the discouragement of not a lot of people at first responding, but then making it so much a norm of we want to help you with this that people will then begin to respond to that and be brave enough to come forward because you're giving them a safe place to come to.
We just saw that at our church recently. It had not been a topic that had been talked about. And then our pastor was brave enough to do a whole sermon series. I think he called it Sexual Integrity, Jesus's Ethic and Sexual Integrity.
Yeah.
And then out of it launched Pure Desire.
Yes, they're groups. Fantastic.
And it was so I remember the first service, Brooke and I, we were there kind of late, so we were sitting in the back, and I think I leaned over at one point and I said, this is really brave. He's a good friend. We were just so proud of, and he vulnerably had like couples get up and share their story at the end. And I think I leaned over and said, this is risky.
That was even more brave.
Yes.
Because there were couples that maybe anybody that would have seen the outside of their world would have gone, you guys are fine. Yeah. Everything's fine. Wow. And then they say, actually, and they go through their story. And it's, and not only, and your
heart's so powerful.
It's
so
but it was, so and I it was so transformative powerful. As a church, I feel like, because not only could you come alongside the people that you're seeing up there, and then knowing that our group is running these, our church is running these groups in this beautiful, very covered, like it wasn't this big public, you knew everybody that was in the group, but just to know that there's a place that people can receive help. So I think so often churches are not talking about it because they haven't talked to it about it for adults. So how can they bring the amazing Greta Eskridge in, who you're such a phenomenal speaker, but to talk to the parents if they're not talking to the adults, like talking about the adult struggle with it. But man, even just in our own church, just seeing the freedom that comes, I mean, just with any sort of hidden sin.
Yes, exactly.
Like any time we can expose it and bring it into the light, it loses so much power.
Yeah.
And so what I hope to see, and I know you long to see, is that this has just become something that we can talk about. We can talk about gossip, no problem. We know we all have a problem with it. It's easy. It's easy to talk about. It can be talked about on stage.
Let me tell you about some people.
But man, if pornography and sexual sin could become that easy to talk about in the sense of like, we know it's important. We know we need to be talking about this together. And if we can create a place in our homes and in our churches that is, has the kind of safety that our kids can come to us and say, yep, I messed up in this area. I need your help, mom and dad.
Yes. Amen. I always say one of the best gifts that we can give our kids or anyone else who's dealing with this issue in their life, whether it's like I've seen it one time or I've seen it 200, is compassion.
Yes.
Like we have to respond with compassion. Yeah. And that can be really hard, like especially as a parent. You're like, I'm afraid, I'm angry, I'm disappointed, I'm disgusted. Like all those feelings will come up.
Yeah.
But if you can push those aside for the time being and come back to them later, but in that moment, just invite the Holy Spirit to give your child or your spouse or your friend, whoever it is, compassion and be like, I'm so sorry. You must be hurting.
Yeah.
How can I love you in this moment? And God loves you.
Wow.
Like that is so powerful. And that's so what powerful. Your pastor did, like to provide compassion for people who he didn't even know, but like that are going to need it.
Yeah.
We could go on all day. That's the problem. That's really the problem. It's not even a problem. It's a good thing. Greta, thank you for your time. Thank you for your wisdom, your perspective. Can't wait. March 5th, hopefully, March 2025, new book with a title that shall be remained secret, but it will be amazing. You'll know it. We'll definitely let the world know about it. Can't wait for that. And check out the Greta Eskridge podcast, please.
Thank you.
What a fun. And even
we do talk about porn, but not all.
No.
Sometimes we need a little break.
So many good topics.
True.
You cover so many good topics. But if this conversation was helpful, if you're listening, like head over to Greta's podcast because it is wonderful. We love you very much. You and Aaron are such gifts to us. And I'm really excited for Zippy to go to
dinner. So. I'm excited for my new nickname. It's great.
Thank you for listening.